Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about new comments from Elon Musk on Tesla's Master Plan Part 3. He also commented on mining, and we do have some other lithium mining news as well. We've also got news on 4680 batteries, an update on Giga Texas, news from Volkswagen, and a couple of other items. It did actually seem like a pretty quiet day in the markets today despite the magnitude of the move here. Tesla down 5% on the day to close at $697.99, while the Nasdaq was down 3% today. I guess everything tends to seem a little bit quieter when Elon is not on Twitter, not back today despite his birthday, so happy birthday, Elon. The consensus train of thought seems to be that maybe Elon is being quiet due to some pending news with the Twitter deal. Definitely could be, I think that's plausible, but that hasn't really stopped Elon throughout the entirety of this saga, so we'll just have to wait and see. All right, first up today, we've got some news from the new Elon Musk interview from Jana Kreider. While the full interview isn't published yet, she did put a little bit of a recap of the interview on her site today, and also published a short 30-second or so snippet of Elon talking about Master Plan Part 3. So we've heard him allude to this before, and we do get a little bit more detail here with Elon saying, quote, Master Plan Part 3 is about scaling, like how do we scale to that fully sustainable energy economy, and what tonnage do we need of what materials, and what is maybe the best way to get all of those materials and turn them into batteries. The fundamental governor of the rate at which we can transition to sustainability is the rate at which we can grow the output of lithium-ion batteries, end quote. So Elon said before that it was all about scale. Here he is talking about specifically tonnage of what materials are needed to get to that scale, which to me just sounds like a little bit more specificity on some of the things that Tesla has talked about being their targets from Master Plan Part 1 and Part 2. Given some of the other things that we have heard Tesla talk about, specifically their concerns about lithium supply and how that might develop over the next few years, plus the commentary from the conversation Drew Buglino had at Stanford. A lot of the focus of that was on raw materials, plus the combination of Tesla not really leaving critical items up to chance or up to suppliers. All of this really seemed to be pointing at Tesla getting more directly involved in mining. However, Jana, in her recap of the interview here, said that, quote, Elon emphasized that he has no desire for Tesla to go into the mining industry. He made that super clear to me, and I just wanted to emphasize that for anyone curious or even hopeful. End quote. So hopefully the full interview will give us a little bit more context on that. That is supposed to be published this Friday, July 1st. But if that is the case, then I don't know, Master Plan Part 3 is a head scratcher to me, because if it's not about mining, then what is there left that hasn't already been covered? I mean, if it's just talking about raw materials tonnage, I think the battery industry can pretty easily do the math on what would be required for 20 million vehicles per year. Not that it would hurt for Tesla to be very explicit with what they're planning for and expecting, but that wouldn't really seem to live up to the grandiosity of Master Plans Part 1 and 2, especially when Tesla has things that they're working on that could easily eclipse that threshold with artificial intelligence, TeslaBot, etc. So it's kind of perplexing to me. Hopefully we'll learn more in the full interview. Maybe Elon is just saying that, hey, we don't have any desire to get into mining, but we're probably going to have to because of X, Y, and Z. While we are on the topic of mining, over the last couple of days, we've gotten some news from Albemarle Corporation. They do lithium mining and processing, among other things. Yesterday, a company executive announced that they have plans to build a lithium processing plant in the US, apparently somewhere in the Southeast, to be able to process up to 100,000 tons per year of lithium. Based on how the article is presented, it reads to me as though that would be lithium carbonate rather than lithium spodumene, which of course only a fraction of is actually useful for a lithium-ion battery, but for lithium carbonate, 100,000 tons per year is going to get you closer to somewhere on the order of 2 million vehicles worth of batteries per year. So this is a very sizable project. I'm not sure there's any dates yet associated with this, but definitely an interesting project for us to follow. Similarly to comments that Elon and Drew have made, Albemarle is also lobbying the US government to reduce some of the red tape around elements of the US battery supply chain, like lithium mining. In other battery-related news today, we've got an update on non-Tesla-produced 4680 batteries. Of course, we have known for some time that Panasonic, LG, and Samsung have been working on 4680s, so the report that we're looking at here, which is about Samsung and their 4680 progress, the fact that they're working on this, that itself is not news, but we do have a bit of an update on their progress here from Korean media outlet The Elec. They report that Samsung is building a pilot line for 4680s at one of their plants in South Korea to test batteries that they'll be supplying to Tesla. And according to their sources, they say that Samsung expects to verify the technology this year. They also report that this pilot line apparently has an annual capacity slightly below 1 gigawatt hour, but the aim is to increase the production speed, allowing for output of 8 to 12 gigawatt hours. If they can do that, that's probably enough supply for roughly 150,000 vehicles. So again, not news that Samsung is working on this, but nice to see a progress update. Speaking of progress updates, we've got one here from Jeff Roberts on Giga Texas. From drone footage, it looks like Tesla is ramping up the number of car carriers that are coming in and out of Giga Texas. Jeff was able to spot 6 on site here at one time, and anecdotally, it sounds like the activity of these car carriers has been increasing in recent days. We've also seen a lot more people being assigned vehicle identification numbers that are Austin built for long range model-wise. So these would be the 2170s like we had talked about. Seems like Austin is ramping that very quickly. And it looks like the first one may have been delivered today. Member Avians on DMC shared a photo of the display for a long range Model Y with an Austin VIN, just 2 miles on the odometer, suggesting that they have just taken delivery of this vehicle. So this seems to be happening very fast. I'll definitely be looking at raising my estimates for Texas for Q3, since Austin won't be solely constrained by the 4680 ramp. Couple of quick notes here on Q2 deliveries. We've got an update from Gary Black sharing a Bloomberg article talking about how delivery estimates have been coming down as analysts update their forecast. Deutsche Bank today lowered their second quarter delivery estimate to 245,000 deliveries from 310,000 before. The article talks about how most of the newer estimates are falling in between 240,000 to 250,000. So the consensus seems to be lining up around that for recent updates. Like we had talked about before, there's been speculation that the buy side expectation is somewhere in between 250 and 255,000. So because of outdated estimates, the consensus from Bloomberg or FactSet or wherever is probably going to look a little bit high, but probably going to be lower in reality. So just something to keep in mind as we approach those numbers likely on Saturday. Some people have been asking about my delivery expectations. We'll go through my production and delivery forecast later this week, probably on Thursday. But I don't anticipate any major changes from what has been already on ShareLoft. All right, next we've got some interesting comments from Volkswagen CEO Herbert Diess. These were two employees today at a Volkswagen meeting. I'm not sure if it was an all-hands meeting or just executives or what the case was, but Diess gave a pretty lengthy update on the current state of the business and, of course, mentioned Tesla quite a few times. The Financial Times is actually reporting that Diess included this meme of Volkswagen sneaking up behind Tesla, which is pretty funny because a couple weeks ago, I remember Diess posting this on Twitter, and I think Electrek actually made this meme, which has now ended up in a Volkswagen company presentation, so kind of funny there. Anyway, Diess at the meeting noted that Tesla remains their strongest competitor, but said that Tesla is weakening, saying that, quote, Elon must simultaneously ramp up 2 highly complex factories in Austin and Grünheide and expand production in Shanghai. That will cost him strength, end quote. Well, I suppose that is an optimistic take on things. I personally view that as a massive strengthening of Tesla's position, but can't fault them for being optimistic. Anyway, a couple of other interesting comments that were made. This was covered by Automobil Woche, shared on Twitter by Berlinergy. Diess said that the, quote, semiconductor crisis has slowed down the industry worldwide, including us. In the second half of the year, the situation is finally easing, end quote. So I think continued comments on progress there is good news for everybody. And hopefully Tesla is even a bit ahead of that curve. It'll be interesting to hear what Zach and Elon have to say on that situation on the Q2 earnings call in a few weeks. And then the other interesting comment from Diess was on Volkswagen's adventures in software with CARIAD. He said, quote, a big topic in the media is our CARIAD. I would like to make this clear. We are the only automotive company in the world to have built a CARIAD. No one else has the confidence to bundle all software capabilities, develop its own computer structure, including operating system and infotainment, and continuously improve it in the hands of customers. This is the most ambitious project in the entire industry. That there will be some challenges in the process, that was clear to everyone involved from the outset. But that doesn't mean that CARIAD has failed. The opposite is true. We are learning software. We are getting better. End quote. So I think it's easy to understand those comments from Diess. Their ambitions are large here. I don't think it's necessarily fair to say that they're the most ambitious in the industry. I think Tesla probably checks that box, but still Diess acknowledging some of the problems that they have had with the development tier, saying that is to be expected. I do think that's a fair point, but from the reporting that we have seen, it does seem to be a bit more problematic and tension-causing than what Diess is letting on here. However, to be fair, it is reporting, and we have seen how that can, at times, not always be the most accurate. Anyway, not to get lost in all that, Diess did say that he does believe that Volkswagen can overtake Tesla to become the largest electric vehicle manufacturer by 2025. Seems like every company thinks that, and again, we've talked about how that benchmark has just shifted from 2020 to 2025, and maybe when we get to that next milestone, they'll finally give up with these kind of statements. All right, moving on from Volkswagen, just a couple of other quick items here. We've got an update on the lawsuit that Tesla has been dealing with in terms of racial discrimination. Remember, in this case, a jury had awarded a $137 million verdict. That was, of course, appealed. The judge brought that down to $15 million. I think that was always intended to be appealed as well from Tesla's side. And we got news yesterday that a motion for a new trial has been granted, and the plaintiff said that they would not accept that award anyway. but my hunch is that that is probably just posturing for what was going to inevitably be another trial anyway. Next, I do need to make a correction from yesterday's episode. We talked about the Tesla Radi article, which was talking about Tesla doing some marketing in Beijing for a 10,000 RMB discount with a trade-in of an ICE vehicle. I mentioned a couple of things. Number one, that this is not a Tesla-specific thing. This is for all electric vehicles. That is accurate. But then I also noted that this was something that we had talked about back in early June. What we had talked about back in early June was specific to Shanghai. This update is on Beijing. So they are extremely similar in their nature, but I do have to apologize to Tesla Radi because this is new information, as these very similar incentives are now available both in Shanghai and Beijing. The other news that has come out as I've been recording this, hence the placement towards the end here, is that Tesla, according to Bloomberg, has laid off about 200 workers involved with the Autopilot team and has closed down a San Mateo facility that housed about 350 people, the rest being transferred to another facility. Sounds like most of these employees were data annotation specialists, so involved with labeling. So we've known about layoffs for a long time now. Obviously, feel for those employees. If there's anything else to take away from it, hopefully it would be an indicator of Tesla feeling like they've made progress with auto labeling, because I can't imagine Tesla just wanting to reduce the budget if they felt like that would be harmful to the progress of Autopilot and FSD. All right, last item for today, quick note on SpaceX. SpaceX has been facing some lobbying against them, this time by Dish Network, regarding SpaceX's use of the 12 gigahertz spectrum to deliver Starlink services. If SpaceX were not able to continue using that spectrum, it would be extremely detrimental to Starlink's functionality. So SpaceX is reaching out to customers, encouraging them to contact the FCC, as well as members of Congress to counteract this lobbying. So if you're interested in doing that, I will put the link down in the description today. Definitely something I'll be doing myself and would encourage you to do as well. All right, that'll wrap it up for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, June 29th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.